From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We are glad that you have joined us this week for episode 34 of our podcast. And this week's episode is a little bit different because this time it's just me. No, it's not because we've already run out of ideas or because we can't get guests, but because every once in a while we want to just have a little solo program. And this one's also going to be a little bit shorter than our regular programs have been the last couple of weeks. We'll get back into having some guests again next week. We hope you're enjoying the podcast. We enjoy doing this for you each week. And this week we're talking about something that is very important in our world, something that's very needed in our world, and that is social media. But we're officially calling this week's program Some Social Media Reminders for Kids. And I want to go ahead and let you know at the outset that this program this week is based upon a blog post that I stumbled across, a month and a half ago, something like that. And the name of the blog post is What Social Media is Offering Our Kids and What to Do About It. And it appeared on the blog We Are That Family. And I'm going to link to that in the show notes for this episode, because the blog post itself is outstanding. And I thought about linking to it on Facebook or Twitter or something like that. But as I had read it once or twice, and actually was reading it again, I thought this would make the basis for a good podcast. And so I'm not going to read the article to you. I want to give them credit. I want you to go over there and read it. You can find the link to that blog post on our show notes, and that's at fawnfamily.com/34. That's the number 34, fawnfamily.com/34. But a couple of key lines that I want to use sort of as our jumping off point from that blog post, and then we'll go from their thoughts to our thoughts. One of the things that was written in this article that I really like, in fact, they wrote it in bold letters, and I see why. They said, "Our culture loves social media, but social media doesn't always like us back." And they put "like" in quotation marks because you can think of the like button on Facebook. Again, our culture loves social media, but social media doesn't always like us back. You know, children, young people, want to be liked. We might even say they want to be accepted. And one of the places now that they are going to look for that acceptance or to be liked is on social media. They're going to join Facebook or Twitter or 10 million other outlets. I shouldn't even start naming any because Facebook and Twitter seem to be outdated, but Instagram and so many others. They're going to join these things and they're going to put things out there, and I'm not even joking. I'm not trying to be facetious about this when I say they are immediately looking for hearts or likes or retweets or whatever the way to show approval is on that particular social media outlet. They are looking for it. We are living in an age, if you did not realize this, where young people are putting pictures up on, for example, Instagram, and if they do not get a certain number of hearts, which are the equivalent of likes on that particular platform, within just a few minutes, they will remove the picture. Or they will update the picture with some sort of editing because it didn't meet their own level of what they thought needed to be accepted. That's a scary thing. Now, let me say this. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with a young person so long as they meet the age requirement, other requirements of a particular platform. They shouldn't lie about their age or whatever. I don't think there's anything particularly wrong about a young person being on Facebook or Instagram or anything else. That said, just because they can be on those particular outlets does not mean they have to be, but also does not mean that they should just be able to do whatever they want to do. It is still important and still necessary for parents to parent, and that includes when a young person is on a particular social media platform. If a young person is not willing to let their parents see what they're doing on whatever social media outlet they're on, then that young person should not be allowed on social media. That's all there is to it. And that may sound harsh, but that's just the way it is. They should have nothing to hide. We would not be accepting if our young person, if our child never let us into their room. We would wonder what was going on in there. And the same should be true of these particular outlets. But a lot of parents think, well, that's their phone or that's their tablet or that's their laptop or whatever, and I'm not going to invade their privacy. If I may be so bold as to say this, that's not their phone. That's not their tablet. That's not their laptop. That's not their computer. It's yours. And I honestly don't even care if the young person paid for it. It's still yours because they live under your roof. So as we think about this, and as I said, this is going to be a little bit shorter episode this week, I want to just simply give a couple of tips, and these are meant to very much to be sort of starter tips. By that I mean these are meant to be things that get your mind going as a way to manage social media as parents and to make sure that our children are not doing things that are not allowed, they're immoral, but also that they're not just doing whatever. Number one, I would suggest that every outlet, every platform, every app that your child is on social media, that they have to have you as a connection. For example, most of us are familiar with Facebook. If your child will not allow you to be friends with them on Facebook, then they should not be allowed on Facebook. If they're on Twitter, you should be following them on Twitter. If they're on Instagram, following them on Instagram, and on it goes. And I know it seems like there's a new social media outlet every single week. It seems that way. And there are dozens of them, quite literally. But we need to stay on top of these things. And we need to say that if you are on one of these, if I pick up your phone and notice that you're on Snapchat, for example, then you have to let me follow you on Snapchat, or you simply cannot be on that particular app or that particular social media outlet. Whatever they are on, we need to be on. And again, that assumes that they are old enough to be on particular apps. Facebook has an age limit, for example, and so on and so forth. We should never let our children lie about their age just so they can join the social media revolution. It'll still be here, trust me. It's going to be around for a long, long time. But we need to make sure that we connect with them on these particular outlets. That's number one. Number two, we need to limit the amount of time they spend. And one way to do that is to limit the number of social media outlets that our young people are on. Some young people, and frankly some adults, think they have to be on every single social media outlet that ever comes out and becomes even halfway popular. That's just not true. We need to make sure that we tell them it's okay to not be on every single outlet that there is in the entire world. It's okay to avoid a few of these things. Or it's okay to say that I'm only going to be on whatever, three or two or even one. And we need to make sure that we limit the amount of time they spend on those particular outlets. I came across a statistic, a word that I have trouble saying, that said that 80% of all iPhone users check Facebook on their mobile device, in other words, on their iPhone. 80%, I should say, of all Facebook users, I should say that, in North America, check Facebook on their mobile phone more than they check it on their computer. And that doesn't surprise us, but here's what is quite amazing about it, is that they check it an average of 14 times a day. Our young people, and not just our young people, but all of our people, it seems, are spending all kinds of time on Facebook. And parents need to be willing to say, you can get on Facebook, and you can get on Facebook during these hours or this many times a day or this many minutes a day, and stick to it. It needs to be limited. Facebook is one of those things, it's a great tool in a lot of ways, but it's a time consumer. And Twitter is the same way, Pinterest is the same way, Snapchat and everything else is the same way. It needs to be limited. And we need to stick to our guns on that limit, on how long we allow them to be on these particular things. But that also means that we do not jump over that limit ourselves. If we are not willing to limit ourselves on how long we are on social media, we should make sure that we do not limit our kids. But we need to make sure all of us are limited on that. That's number two, is limit the time and limit the number of outlets they are on. Number three, your young person should not have the phone, tablet, whatever, in their computer, in their room, especially at night, by themselves. There should be a time where those phones and tablets are left somewhere in the house, on a table, wherever, a cabinet to charge up overnight, and they should not be allowed. Now, I know, well, my kids will sneak out. Well, then we have a different problem. We have what could almost be described, and maybe should be described, as an addiction problem. They are addicted, it seems, to a particular social media outlet. But we need to make sure that we say that at night, no way. No chance that this is going to be in their room by themselves. Number four, we need to communicate about social media. And I'm going to camp on this just for a couple of minutes. As I said, this is going to be a shorter program. This is going to be my last point, actually. Parents and children need to be able to talk about everything. And if that's true, then one of those things needs to be social media. The article that I'm using as the outlet or the jumping off point for this particular blog podcast today mentions this point and mentions it very well, that there are certain questions we need to ask. And I'm not going to list them all because, again, I want to make sure that you read this article that will be found in our show notes at fondfamily.com/34. fondfamily.com/34. But a couple of things that I really like that they point out to talk about. One is this: discuss what it means to like something and how it feels to be liked on social media. Because they say it's a temporary high that can have a long-lasting impact on the way we feel about ourselves. That's a very important point. If I don't get enough likes, does that mean I don't like myself? Well, that shouldn't be. But they also suggest to talk about things like what kinds of things should be said in person and not online, or even not at all. We often are very tempted, especially young people and all of us, to just put anything and everything out there on social media that we would never say to someone's face or never say in a public forum, face-to-face, maybe in a classroom or whatever. And we need to be very careful about that. What kinds of things we need to avoid saying at all, or that we don't need to say it online, but we need to go to the person face-to-face or at least through a phone call. So these are just some suggestions. As I said, this is going to be a shorter program today. We're going to get back to guests next week, but I want to come on this week on the podcast and talk about social media and kids and simply recommend this resource to you, this article. Again, you can find it at fondfamily.com/34, and the name of it is What Social Media is Offering for Our Kids and What to Do About It. And I hope you'll check out that particular article and be encouraged by it from the We Are That Family blog. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast this week. Next week, I'm going to be joined not by one, not by two, but by five guests. I'm really excited about next week's program. We're going to have a very quick whip around kind of program where five mothers are going to join me and talk about a great family devotional that they have had. And each one's going to share a great family devotional idea with you. And I hope that you will enjoy that. It's going to be encouraging. And I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say and sharing that with you in next week's program. But until then, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.